You know, we've been looking through Romans the last few months. We're kind of winding down. We've been in this last section here talking about the transformed life. And that comes out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where in verse 1, Paul urges you and I to give our lives to God, to give Him us. Because of what Jesus has done for us, you now, because of the price that He was paid for your life, you now give your life to Him. And then He tells us in verse 2, as you give your life to Him, that you don't be conformed to how the culture around you is acting, how the world around you is acting, but rather you be transformed, that is, from the inside out. You become a new person because you are being renewed, your mind is being renewed by the Word of God. So since that time, we've been looking at how God's Word tells us to be transformed in our lives. And so we're going to get into another section today, because as we commit ourselves to Him, and as we allow ourselves to be transformed, part of that transformation is that we become transformed in how we act, especially in how we act towards each other. Why is that so important? The whole issue of how we act towards each other. Let me tell you why. I'll remind you of something. You go all the way back to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, "By this shall they know you are my disciples. By the way you fuss and feed." Is that what it says? No. By your love for one another. See, the greatest testimony of Jesus Christ in our community is not how many people come, not how flashy you look on Sunday morning. The greatest testimony to a world that has no hope, that has no Jesus, that needs Jesus, the greatest testimony to them of Jesus is our love for each other. And that's going to require transformed actions. It's going to require you changing the way you are towards each other. And as we change that way, as we act out of love, man, what a testimony that would be. People will drive by and they'll say, yeah, that's that church I heard about. They love each other. They actually care for each other. That's what God's calling us to. And you say, well, boy, that's an awful lot to ask for, George, because we love each other wrong. We pick each other off. Yes, we do. But here's what I'm saying to you. Transformation doesn't come by you acting your outward. Transformation comes from the inside out as God brings it about. And as we think about the transformed actions of what God wants us to do as far as each other, it's only going to take place as you and I allow God to do it through us. So don't worry. We're not going to have classes, a Sunday school lesson on how to act towards each other. What to do if you get kicked off. Because that's not the point. That's only dealing with outward things. It's got to be the inward outward. That's exactly what Paul's talking about today in the 15th chapter, is our actions towards each other. And so he gives us an exhortation. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13 today. And I want you to notice what he says. Look at what he says. As we try to allow God's Word to transform us in our actions towards each other, notice what he says. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become the servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, for his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Loud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise up to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What we're going to look at today is how we want to allow God's Word to transform us in our actions towards each other, to be that church that God wants us to be. I want you to notice, first of all, the exhortation you see in verses 1 through 6. Notice with me verse 1. First thing I want you to notice. Here's what Paul's saying. If you're going to be transformed in your actions towards each other, here's what he's saying. Very first thing he says to you. He's telling you, focus on the needs of others. Look at what he says in verse 1. Look at what he says. He says, then we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Here's what he's saying. So you're strong in your faith. You're strong in your walk with God. Don't look down on the person who's not strong, who's maybe struggling a little bit. Don't you have a haughty attitude. The issue isn't what can you do for you. The issue is what can you do for others around you. See, you're not here this morning. You're not a part of the fellowship for you. You're here for the rest of us. In fact, let me just say it this way. You're going to find this hard to believe, but you are a blessing to the rest of us here. And you were really down in the mouth and you thought nobody had any use. Listen to me. You say, well, I ain't got nothing to offer. How do you know? We haven't tried yet. God is calling you and I to focus on the needs of others around us. So when you came in this morning, you came in as a blessing to the rest of us. Because you came in having something to offer for the rest of us here, for the rest of the body, the rest of the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if you came in here today saying, well, I'm just going to sit here and hope that the music blesses me and hope that George is going to communicate something to me and hope that we get out on time today, you came to the wrong place. But if you came in here today and said, Lord, I've come for you, and I've come to be used by you in the lives of others around me, you came to the right place. Because that's the exhortation. God is calling you and I not to focus on ourselves. Notice what he says. In fact, notice what he says. I think it's interesting that he says this. Not to please ourselves. I think that says it all, doesn't it? Not to please ourselves. You came here for others. You came to the right place. If you came here for yourself, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. To focus on the needs of others. In fact, he goes on in verse 2 and he builds on that whole issue of verse 1. Notice what he says in verses 2 and 3. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Here's the point. Seek to build up others. How many of you have ever got in a funky mood? Maybe you woke up and somebody put nails in your Wheaties or something, and you're just in a funky mood, and all you're satisfied with is blood. And you just want to rip into somebody today. That'll just make you feel good to rip into somebody. How many of you have ever had that kind of thing? Be honest. We all have, haven't we? Okay? That is not what he's talking about. In fact, you need to check that attitude at the door. Because what he's calling you and I to do is to come in here with another attitude, an opposite attitude, that you're going to come in here and say, who can I be an encouragement to today? Lord, who can you have me be a help to today? Whether it's to put my arm around them and say that I love them, or whether it's to say, Lord, how can I help them today? Maybe it's to help somebody out financially as God leads you to do that. Maybe it's to give them a note of encouragement during the week. Who can I be an encouragement to today? That's what God's calling us to do. Looking back here in the corner, and the man asked me to tell you at the beginning of this service, thank you for the cards. They will encourage you to that. What do you think he would feel like if he felt that nobody in the church cared? Do you think he'd be here today? Do you think he'd be here? It was the knowledge that people cared and were praying that kept him going. Do you understand? And that's what God's calling us to do. He said, that's what Jesus did for us. Look at what he says in verse 3. Verse 3, he said, Jesus did the same thing. He didn't come for himself. He came for you and I. And because Jesus came for you and I, he went to the cross and they laid upon him our sins. And he died for us. See, he's saying that you and I need to have that same type of attitude that when we come, quit coming for you. Quit coming for you. In fact, I would dare say that some of you are so defeated in your life that the reason why you're defeated is because you're coming for the wrong reasons. You're coming for yourself when you need to be coming for others. And what kind of a... That is so anti-cultural, isn't it? But that's what he's calling us to be transformed into. He's calling us to be transformed into that. We place the needs of others before our own. So we just seek to build up others. Now, how do I do that? How do I build up others? Look then at verse 4. I think he makes an interesting little side note here that I think tells us how to do it. Look what he says, verse 4. For whatever things were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have faith. Here's what he says. The purpose of the Scriptures is to teach us. See, there's a reason for you to read your Bible. And it's not for religious exercise. It is for you to grow in your faith so you've got something to share with others. For you to grow in your faith so that you could say to them, you know what, this verse of Scripture was encouragement to me when I went through this. It'll help you when you go through that. And, oh, you're going through something right now? I know the Word of God, it says you need to do this. Here's what it says. You think about it and pray about it. Let me give you a story. This is interesting. Some of you are probably going to hear this story again. In March, we're having another men's seminar, and this year we're having Dr. David Samuels come again. He's the head of the Wildlife Management Department at West Virginia University, and he came, I think, 3 years ago, maybe 3, maybe 4 years ago. Dr. Samuels is going to come and speak again about deer and his testimony. The last time he was here, everything was done. He had shared in his story. He had shared in his story about how he was having an eye problem. And he had a bow hunt to go on in Argentina. And he was concerned because the eye that he was having problems with was his hunting eye. And after things were over, a group of men, a group of leaders from our church, a group of elders and trustees, we prayed for Dr. Samuels right down here in this pew. Some of you were here, you remember. It was right down here. And we prayed for him that God would bring healing to his eye. And then after everybody left, it was just he and me, and we were walking outside. It was like a day like this with snow on the ground, and he was getting in his truck to drive back to I think, to Johnstown where his brother lived. And I looked at him and I said, Dr. Samuels, let me give you a word of Scripture. I just feel like I need to give you a word of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds Christ Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, he looked at me like, oh yeah, I need a verse right now. My eyes got a problem. You're giving me a verse. Now, like Paul Harvey said, here's the rest of the story. He goes home that evening. The next day, he goes to his church. They have a guest speaker. The guest speaker gets up in a pulpit. Guess what he's preaching on? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He looks over at his wife and says, I think I'm going to be okay. God's in this. You know what? With a surgery that only had a 15% chance of success, he got his sight back. And to this day, he knows that God did it. See, God will move in your hearts to give scripture to each other, to build each other up. Isn't it better for you to encourage each other with the Word of God than to be slamming each other? Beating down on each other? See, that's the exhortation. We allow His Word to be transformed. Why? Because look, notice verse 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you the like-minded towards one another, be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Unity glorifies God. Unity, being like-minded, ministering to each other, being there for each other, that's what glorifies God. It's not fussing and feuding. It's not having attitudes. It's not being right. It's being unified in Christ. And showing love to one another. That's what glorifies Him. That's the issue that we need to be focusing on. That's the exhortation. Look, if we could just take those four things, do you know what kind of place this would be if we all started acting like that? Well, I'll be honest with you, you can't act like that. Well, why are you telling us that then? Because that's what you got to pray for. But remember, it's not an issue of conformity because it's not, oh no, I've got to conform my actions to what George just said. No, you need to allow the Word of God to transform you from the inside out. And you'll be like that. You need to allow God to do it through you. And when we allow God to do it through you, what kind of church do you think we're going to have? Sounds like a pretty boring place, George. No. You'll be excited to get here. You'll be like, man, what's going to happen this Sunday? What's going to happen at the next church gathering? Who's going to be there for me to minister to? That's the attitude you'll have. That's the attitude you're having. I think that's a great attitude to have, isn't it? Isn't that something for us to pray for? Isn't that something for us to pray for? Leonard Sweet, in his book, Out of the Question, writes this. The following story outlines his thoughts concerning valuing relationships with other people. Tom Wiles served a stint as a university chaplain in Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona. A few years ago, he picked me up at the Phoenix airport in his new Ford pickup truck and whisked me away as a keynote to a leadership conference at the university. Since I was away, the keynote that conference, I was still mourning the trade-in of my Dodge after looking at his Ford. We immediately bonded together because we were truckmen. And so we started sharing truck stories and laughing at bumper sticker tourism like, nothing's more beautiful than a man and his truck. Sounds like something around here, wouldn't it? So as I climbed into his 2002 Ford for a ride back to the airport, a day later, I noticed two big scrapes on the passenger door. What happened, I asked. My neighbor's basketball pole fell and left those dents and white scratches, Tom replied. You're kidding. How awful. This truck is so new, you can still smell it. I said, what's worse, Tom said, is my neighbor doesn't feel responsible for the damage. Rising to my newfound friend's defense, Leonard Sweet said, did you contact your insurance company? Are you going to get them to pay for it? Tom replied, this has been a real spiritual journey for me. After a lot of soul searching and discussion with my wife about hiring an attorney, it came down to this. I could either be in the right or I can be in a relationship with my neighbor. Since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than this truck, I decided I'd rather be in a relationship with him than to be right. Besides, trucks are meant to be banged up, aren't they? So I got mine initiated for the real world before it even got out of the driveway. That's what the attitude God calls us to. It's not an issue of being right. It's an issue of being in a relationship with God. That's what he's calling us to. And how do we know that we're to do that? Because verse 7 through 13 tells us the example of Jesus. Look with me at verse 7. This is a profound verse. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Here's the point I want you to see. Accept others should be others as Christ accepts you. Accept others as Christ accepts you. Listen, maybe you're thinking about somebody that you have no use for or whatever. Can I be honest with you? God accepted you, didn't he? And if there was ever any reason for him to be ticked off at anybody, he should have been ticked off at us, should he not have? And so what is he saying? You need to get over it. Look to your neighbor right now. Look to him and say, get over it. Look to him right now. Get over it. Right? He's calling you and I to what? Accept one another just as Jesus accepted us. That's the example. But man, we've got a problem. Here's our problem. We are so prideful. I mean, you could be in the ditch, but you're thinking, well, I'm not at the bottom of the ditch yet. So-and-so is at the bottom. I'm not there yet. Accept one another. Ken Langley in leadership said this, after worrying for a half an hour that we wouldn't get on an overbooked flight, my wife and I were summoned to a check-in desk. A smiling agent whispered that this was our lucky day. To get us on the plane, he had bumped us up to first class. This was the first and only time that we had been so pampered on an airplane. Good food, hot coffee, and plenty of elbow room. We started playing a little game, trying to figure out who didn't belong in first class. One man stuck out. He padded around the cabin in his socks, restlessly sampling magazines, playing with but never actually using the in-flight phones. Twice he sneezed so loudly we thought the oxygen mask would just drop out of the ceiling. And when the attendant brought linen tablecloths for our breakfast trays, he tucked his into his collar as a bib. Here's what he writes. We see misfits in church, too. People who don't seem to belong, who embarrass us, who cause us to feel superior. The truth is, we don't belong here any more than they do. Accept others as Christ has accepted you. Why? Look at verses 8 and 9. He tells you why. Now I say that Christ Jesus has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to conform the promises made to the fathers that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy as it is written. For this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Why? Christ came to unify.
Christ came to unify. Hey, can I help you, neighbor? Help, let me help you. Get used to each other. For some of you are like, man, I can't wait to get out of here and wait for that person. Hey, if they're a believer, you're going to spend eternity with them. Do you know how long eternity is?
Forever.
So you better get used to them. Get used to them. Why? Because Christ came and died for us and accepted us so that we might be unified, that we might be one. We might be family. That's his example. That's his example, that we might be family. Why? What should we do with that? Look then at verse 10. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Loud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise up to reign over the Gentiles, and in him the Gentiles shall hope. Here's what he's saying. Look again, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what it is. We are to glorify God for his mercy. Nobody should walk in here, can I be honest with you? Nobody should walk in here and sit down in a pew and be proud and say, everybody's blessed because I'm here today. Nobody should have that attitude. Why? Because it's his mercy, not you. And the attitude that should come out of us is, Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus that you brought me, that you allowed me to be a part of your people. Because it wasn't about me. It was about you. See, that's where to glorify God for his mercy. That's the kind of people we need to be. That's the kind of example that we have in Jesus. Let me wrap it up. I only have two thoughts for you today as we get out. Okay? Ask yourself this question. As we think about being transformed into the people of God that he wants us to be, that as we communicate through that transformation a testimony of love to the community around us, here's the question. Are you considerate of the needs of others? Are you considerate of the needs of others? It's a scary thing for me. This thought just came in my mind. One day stand before Jesus. As I stand before him, he judges my ministry, judges my service to pastor. He says, look, here's the church doing. Scary thing for me to know that there will be people that he would come out and say, they have need of a new job. He would check. I want that to happen. I don't want people to come in here with a need to sit down and feel like nobody cares. They already get that outside. Everybody understand me? The world doesn't care. They should be able to come and sit down and know, well, maybe people won't know what the issue is, but I at least know they still care about it. Are you considerate of the needs of others? My friends, what am I trying to say? Quit coming in here focused on you. That's why you got problems. You need to start thinking about others. Are you considerate of the needs of others? That's what he's calling us to. And then here's the final point. Follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Christ. Be the kind of person he wants you to be. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, ask him to do it through you. He's just waiting for somebody to work through. You're his hands. You're his lips. You're his eyes. You're his arms to give a hug. You're his feet. Follow the example of Jesus and allow him to work through you to the people around you. That's what he called it. That's what he called it.